Well, I'm delighted to say that I have on the line with me now Jane Wolfe Waterman. Not only is Jane a licensed psychotherapist, she's also a practicing attorney, and you might be surprised to know, an author as well. Well, I'm not quite sure where she gets the time, but fortunately for us here at Carers World Radio, Jane has written an exceedingly useful book for all of our purposes. It's basically titled Parenting Our Parents. Well, in actual fact, it's called Oh My God, We're Parenting Our Parents. Jane, thank you so much for joining us today. What was the inspiration for your book?
Thank you, Patricia, for having me on, and it's a pleasure to be able to speak with your very distinguished audience. The book itself was perhaps a response or a reaction to the fact that I found myself dealing with aging parents when I went home one Christmas time and found that they were living among illness and incredibly upset environment. And I thought that as a person with my background in geriatric social work, which is social work for the elderly, and my other experiences, that I would know exactly what to do, but I was overwhelmed. And as the time went on, the immediate time and then the distance of 10 years that I cared for my own parents, I began to see that there really was just about nothing out there in the media, in the reading world, newspaper, magazines, books, even online, that really filled people in on what they needed to know in order to become something different in regards to their parents, in order to actually become a kind of parent. I call Parenting Our Parents, Patricia, POP. So I call this type of parenting POP parenting, and it's not the same as raising our children, but it requires the kind of compassion and time and patience, and I'm sure your audience is familiar with those qualities. So it was out of my own need to find some guidance, and finding none out there, and then beginning to talk with so many, many more people in my office, at my reunions, at the coffee shops in the neighborhood, where I would hear people saying, "We don't know what to do."
Well, it's interesting. It's such common themes because, you know, for our audience's sake, you know, Jane, obviously you're working in Los Angeles, my hometown, and yet what you describe is so common for the vast majority of our audience is obviously in the UK, but we have everybody listening in from America, New Zealand, Australia. So the common themes that you've mentioned is this sense of being overwhelmed, a huge learning curve, and yet at the end of it, there is something which one might consider almost a gift in this process. I would like to go over the idea of what is good to know potentially in advance so that you aren't so overwhelmed, but let's talk about the gift as well. What would you say were the gifts of parenting your parents? Because it does sound very tricky to start with.
Well, it is tricky to start with, and frankly, parenting an infant is pretty tricky to start with, and we learn along the way, as we do with our parents. But the situation is very much sort of sideways, in that when we're parenting our children, they're getting bigger and more capable and less dependent, and we take great pride and joy in watching them need us less and grow more, and ultimately they get launched and go off to their university or their work or their new home with their spouse, and we feel like we've accomplished our parenting job. But not so fast, it turns out, as your listeners will attest to, I'm sure, that as we get to the other end of the cycle, it becomes a very different kind of story, that we're watching the people that we love kind of get smaller physically and get less able and become more dependent on us. They get forgetful. They can't hear as well. They really perhaps can't take care of their own home in a state of cleanliness that you and I might think is necessary. They maybe don't understand all the things that their doctors are telling them. And we find ourselves, the people who love them and who've been their children, now turning around and realizing there's something in reverse that might be available for us to do. I have to be honest with you, Patricia, the initial part of it, I think most of us don't, we kind of cringe from.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to see it. We don't want to know it. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to think ahead. I was an only child who was going to take care of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
They'd become 85. So I think most of us don't want to see what is ahead. But what is ahead in this sort of change of role, it can be really an extraordinary gift, as you put it, and a gift of a spiritual nature, a gift of a personal developmental nature, you know, through the life course. I call the time of life the pop cycle, and when we start taking care of more dependent parents. And in the course of that, there's an opportunity to get back together, to spend time, to attend to our parents, to be with our siblings, and to create an environment where our parents can make their passages off the planet with grace, with absence of pain, with feeling loved and attended to. And for many of us, there's a do-over chance to perhaps parent our parents maybe like we might have wanted them to parent us, or to take the lessons that we've learned from the first time we parented our own children and do it better the second time around. As we watch our own children sometimes having children, we have grandchildren, and we see what kind of parents our children have become, and we have a chance to kind of do it again. So this series of challenges as to how to maneuver our way through getting on their bank accounts so that if they forget to make a payment to the credit card company, we find out about it, or supporting them by going to the doctor with them and hearing the story of what's wrong and how it could be treated. And those kinds of things that our parents used to do for us when we were little can be very, very wonderful and healing experience for carers. And I think you were saying that you have that experience with carers. They do find it very sweet often.
I do know that when we've done personal stories on Carers World Radio that nobody wants to moan about being a carer. Nobody wants to make it sound overly negative, because there is a certain gift in being able to take care of one's parents and know that they are okay. And nobody wants to feel that that their parents are a burden on them. They don't want their parents to ever feel that. There are, however, in this, and having been through this myself, when my mother was ending, was coming to the end of her life, there are certain elements which we can definitely makes the journey easier if we are aware of them in advance. And you highlight this in your book, I think, very well, in terms, and I've just made a list of five things, but there's emotional factors, financial factors, legal factors, family dynamics, and logistical factors, all of which, if you become aware of them, you know, in advance or as they happen, life becomes a little bit more easier. Could you expand on that in terms of how it helps the balance of taking care of elderly parents, just that little less tense?
Sure. I think that once the realization and recognition comes to us that somebody has to do something with our parents, and it may well be us, and if we decide and choose it to be us, then we kind of need to know, you know, what the playing field is all about. And so we need to have the courage as the parent to sit down gently and graciously, but with forethought, with kindness, with enough loud voice and with some persistence to say, what is going on? What are we all dealing with? What are your resources? How much, if anything, do you still owe on your home? How do your bills get paid? Can we join in and help you financially? Or any number of ways, as you're saying, that begin to lighten the burden. It might be going into your parents' home, and if they're able to physically stay there, removing some of the items. Old people often gather a lot of materials and have difficulty parting with them and think that they may be important. And if you can help them to minimize these kinds of items, they can probably physically be safer in their homes, walking around, not tripping on things, not having their memories tripped of things that they're perhaps maybe nostalgic for them. So there are grab bars that could be put into people's tubs to make them easier to get in and out of. There are many, many physical kinds of things, even going into your parents' home and adding a lot more lighting, because it's harder to see at night. And these limitations become disabilities for our parents. And I think one of the things we want to do is to encourage, as carers, I guess we call them in the United Kingdom, caregivers, care lovers, whatever we call them, want to encourage the people they're caring for to be as able to do as much for themselves for as long as possible. And there's a fine line, particularly when someone takes the role of being a parent and not wanting to take over another person's life and not pushing them to not be able to do what they really are able to do.
I'm sure there are a lot of carers of elderly parents who are listening to this now, and they've gone, gosh, you know, I know that now. I wish I'd have known that before. So it's really quite interesting. It's almost like we need those pop parents really to be telling other people about this, your book, so that they can be prepared for this. Because I have to say, what I was particularly intrigued by on your website, which we will have a link to, but it's basically parentingourparents.org. That's www.parentingourparents.org. There is a link in there which goes pop family coaching, because I was just really intrigued, as both a journalist and a life coach, that you've sort of developed a system which is now getting to the point in the United States where you're kind of certifying private Parenting Our Parents coaches. Tell me a little bit about why you thought it, you know, what the role of a certified pop coach could bring to families, and why it's potentially such a useful resource to have outside of your own family dynamic, Jane.
Well, as a life coach yourself, and I imagine much of your audience is familiar with your good work in that area, what people aim to do with coaches is to have somebody to guide them through a process and to help set deadlines and perhaps prioritize goals and work together if there's a team involved that the coach is involved with, have the team figure out how to cooperate and achieve the desired results. Well, I've been doing that for a number of years, often using this mechanism of Skype and teleconferencing, because in Los Angeles, where I am and you live, distances present a problem. But also many people who are caring for parents live at very different locations, not just in the same city, but all over the country, or all over the world, as we're now learning. So allowing people to come together and to work as a team on an as-needed basis with a person who has gone through various stages with you, various parts of the pop cycle, is an extraordinarily helpful kind of professional to add to the... there are many, many geriatric professions coming up as we have more and more people in this country, 11,000 people every day turn 65. And although many of us that age think of ourselves as very youthful, we are joining the senior population in Medicare in the United States. So 11,000 people a day in this country alone, let alone all over the world, are joining this senior population. And we need some help. We need to figure out how to do it. And I particularly like the idea of working with one person on an ongoing basis so that when 2 years after the initial consultation, which maybe has been a session or two, when people found that they wanted to assess where their parents were and figure out who might help with some early tasks, and then maybe mom took a fall and needs some rehabilitation or hip surgery and some really much greater caring for a temporary period of time. And to go back to that same coach and to be able to understand the family dynamics and who lives by and who can help and who is really more available and who is doesn't really like mom very much.
Yes, it's working out all of those things and having somebody outside to be practical and resourceful enough to actually articulate it and state it. Because I think the real gist of what I'm getting from speaking to you is this sense that if you make that decision, there's a lot of this process where we almost don't want to be conscious of what we're doing. We kind of put out fires, and then there comes a point where we just can't put out the fires anymore without the realization that we are in a different stage in our lives and we have to face it and to make some pretty straightforward decisions. And I think with the aid of a coach, sometimes that really works. Jane, I would like to thank you very much on behalf of all the carers for pulling all of this together. Like I said, the book is an incredibly well-balanced mix of emotional, financial, legal, and logistical understanding of what it takes to parent our parents. Your website, even if our listeners, may sort of think, well, I need to know more, do go to Jane's website. It's parentingourparents.org. There's a list of some really sort of intriguing aspects to her book, and so you can discover that yourself. And Jane Wolf-Waterman, thank you so much for joining us on Carers World Radio today.
Well, thank you. And if your listeners themselves, who have acquired a great many skills, are interested in becoming pop family coaches themselves, I'm not seeing a whole lot of reason why we have to draw national boundaries for these universal issues. If they go to the website, there's a place where they can express their interest, just send an email and get some kind of response. And if we find out there is an interest in the UK, we might be very excited to expand the coaching program so that people who have been doing this for a very long time can help others along the way. And I think that's how we're going to have to do it, hand to hand.